picture this. You're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hi everybody. So today we have a wonderful, wonderful guest here, Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan.
Hola.
Yeah, hello. A wonderful, wonderful guest. Don't oversell it.
Hey, we got to tell it like it is. You know, you are the most wonderful Jonathan here chatting here with us today. For those people that don't know you, who are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Who am I? Well, I'm just some random Hoya person. Who's very, very deep in the rabbit hole with the Hoyas. Yeah. And similarly, very deep into the orchid rabbit hole right now, which is problematic in terms of time management.
Oh, no. Something new.
It is. It's very new, but I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, that's exciting.
It is exciting. I'm very excited. So, I don't know. I am a nursery owner, very small nursery. I've just toured some very large scale commercial nurseries and I feel very imposter syndrome-y calling my nursery a nursery, but I guess by definition that's what it is. So I have a small, very small, very homemade Timu UPT style nursery. it is what it is, but man, I mean, this is what's, you know, that's what's going on. And in Hawaii, I'm on the island of Oahu, up in the, not in the mountains, but I'm in a nice high elevation,
wow,
breezy, perfect for my Hoyas, perfect for my orchids. Everything is growing.
To sound like a fairy tale. So
it's pretty good. I don't have a lot of complaints. Yeah, I mean, it could be worse.
We met you when we were out in California for like a Hoya type of event. And that's when we had met you out in California. And then, yeah, I remember you said that you're moving to Hawaii. So you're living your best island life, which is amazing. I love that for you.
Yes, I did that. I did that move. And I will tell you, I will never do that move again. So I will... be passing away on this island whenever that day comes. I'm not ever doing that
leaving
again. That was a lot.
What was one of the most challenging things about it?
I mean, honestly, these Hoyas, like, get out here. Of course, I was like, oh yes, I'm going to, you know, in a very organized way, I'm going to, you know, up pot these things and uproot them and delicately pack them with their tags so gingerly in this box, etc. Sorry, I have an airplane going over. And of course, I leave everything until the very last minute, and we're moving out of the apartment in, you know, 48 hours, and I'm frantically just ripping Hoyas out by the base, coconut chunks everywhere.
Ripping their panties off?
Just, I don't know if they had leaves. I don't know if they had roots. I was just slamming, crushing, cramming anything into a box. Maybe I threw the tag in, maybe I didn't, smash it shut, and then, yeah. So that was happening while I'm also, you know, coordinating, like, shipping my car on a ferry. And I guess it's not a ferry, it's a big cargo ship, I guess. And, you know, moving all of the stuff and tidying up loose ends. And then I arrive and immediately have food poisoning for like a week.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Which was really great. And I was just, you know, looking at my Hoyas on the floor, languishing, and I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And I was like, oh boy, really thankful that you're so resilient. And yeah, I lost, I mean, I had quite a sizable collection, if I do say so myself. I lost a lot, which I have, through the generosity of my friends in Southern California, mostly replaced with cutting. So I'm pretty much back to where I was, luckily. And I've obviously acquired some new things since then.
Nice. So basically you're telling us, because the funny thing is we just recently posted an episode about moving with plants. So you're telling us that you were the professional at this and we should have inquired with you on how to best move with plants.
I would say that you could have inquired with me how to not do a move. And I could have.
Wait. So they let you take your Hoya to Hawaii?
I had to have them inspected.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Was that like a crazy tough process or pretty like easy?
I think it depends on who you get. I mean, I the really good ones I hand carried on the airplane and then declare at the airport. If you've ever been here, you have to fill out like an arrival declaration form. And I remember I filled it out and I said, yes, I am carrying Hoyas. And the flight attendant was like losing her mind. She's like, what do you mean you have something? Like, what are you going to do? I said, well, ma'am, I've declared it on the form. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
These are my babies. These are my children. These, what are you talking about? Yeah, what are you saying? Never,
these are the most important things in my life. Are
you, wait, I need to know, which ones did you carry on the plane?
At the time, I mean, it was anything that was like very thin leaf or delicate. And then I had just recently gotten my large, amazing, beautiful silver Matrada. And I thought, there's no way I'm letting that out of my sight. So I had that, like, and it had like a long vine. It was crazy. I had like vines coming out of all my backpacks and bags. And but it made it, and it's here, and it's alive.
Wow.
I love that.
Anything delicate or, I don't know, anything that was very sentimental or expensive, I thought, I can't. You know, and of course, I had like friends right before I was moving, like bring me cuttings. They're like, here's some cuttings. I was like, it's not a great time for this, but I guess I'll make it. So, got those cuttings.
Got them.
Got them. Wow. Thank you so much.
Okay, you'll have to definitely tell us a little bit more about that because I'm highly intrigued by this whole move.
I have told so many people here that I'm dying on this rock. Like, I'm not leaving. There's nothing that could get me to go. It's so far. I am in the middle of nothing. There's, you know, it's a 6-hour flight to the mainland from here, minimum, to get anywhere else.
Wow. I can't think about that when I'm visiting the islands. Because it literally freaks me out. I'm like, I'll start to spiral about not being able to be anywhere else but there.
Yeah, I dissociate from that. when I'm
You're like, I don't claim that energy.
I don't claim that energy. I'm just going to, you know, be on my phone. So.
Okay, but we have to go back into the question that we ask everybody that is a guest here is how they got into plants, because everybody has their like plant journey story. What is the word for that? It's like your
origin story.
Yes, your origin story, your plant origin story.
What's the lore?
I guess there's lots of lore. I don't know that I have a plant. I definitely can tell you my Hoya origin stories, but like in plants, I don't really remember. I've always liked plants, like from a young age. I remember that, you know, I would like garden with my grandma, doing she would grow vegetables and stuff in her backyard during the summer. I'm from Pennsylvania, so we had a very short growing season outdoors. Which is in very stark contrast to my current situation, which was 365 days of growing season, which is good, but overwhelming. Anyways, so I've always liked plants, and I don't know, growing up, I thought, yeah, I can get this, and go to the garden center, get this, go to Home Depot, get that, whatever's in the big box store, and I thought that was plants. I didn't really conceptualize that there were other plants available, and I didn't know anything about rare plants up until that fated year, 2020, when we were all on the nuts. So I remember somebody was like, well, you should, you know, get on these. Well, oh, I do know. Okay. This is bringing the memories are flooding back. Albo Monstera. And I'm not an aeroid person, but an Albo Monstera. I thought, wow, it's an Albo Monstera. I've never seen this before. You know, it's May 2020, bored in the house. How do I get an Albo Monstera? You know, you pop on eBay. They've got a node on auction. I think I bought two nodes. One was about $100 and the other was had a leaf, which in retrospect now I know is a mistake. Don't bother with the leaf for 150. So I spent $250 on these, you know, white and green sticks coming in the mail from, I don't know, North Carolina, somewhere very far. And then we stuck them in like water to begin the rooting process. And that kind of began a spiral. So one of our cousins, I think, told us to get on a local, like rare plant Facebook group, like rare plants. What are rare plants? And then I was just very, very overtaken by the rare plants.
So you jumped in at the thick of it. I feel like 2020, summer 2020 was, yeah, that was the thick of it.
But I wasn't into Hoyas at that point. I didn't even know what a Hoya was. I was just in the all-purpose Gen Pop rare plant group of Southern California.
Which is always like a different level, I think, than...
Yeah.
Than, like, I feel like SoCal and Florida have a different level with the rare plants.
It was crazy at the time, and it has since died off. I mean, I can't speak to it today, but, you know, it lasted 2 years, and then it really was done. Because everybody, like, once we got back out of the house, people were living life. I wasn't. Obviously, I was still in the house with my plants.
Bam.
Still am.
Still doing. Yeah, the SoCal Plant Collective, though, I feel like was definitely different. There are just so many people, especially the Hoya Plant Collective.
There's a lot of heavy hitters in the Hoya world in Southern California. I was quite spoiled to be there because I never had to outsource. I never really had to go beyond there. Like, if I couldn't find it in SoCal, did it exist? Did I meet it?
Wow.
No. I was lucky. But I was in that group, and we started off with, like, the... what are now, I guess, the basic rares of, like, philodendrons. So, and I'm trying to think. I don't even remember, but, like, okay, a philodendron majestic. Oh, wow. And, of course, everything very expensive, and I'd never heard of these, and they didn't have them at Home Depot, so I didn't know what they were. So we're getting nodes and sprouting these and learning. And I remember somebody posted a inner variegated Hoya wyettii. That was my first Hoya.
Wow.
For $55.
That was like, the one that started it all.
It did. And it was like, it was a little crumb of a node, maybe like a node and a half with like an extra leaf. And it came in like some LECA in like a green algae covered baby food jar or something. That was my
Oh yeah. Those are the days when everyone was eating like any food that came in a small glass yogurt container.
Yep. Don't get me started on the Wii yogurt containers.
Healthy guts though, y'all.
I know, like very probiotic going on. So that was my first one. And then I slowly started to kind of spiral. My friend Tony, who I'm sure you all know, of what's his Instagram handle now? SoCal Plant. Yeah. Tony's been flipping and flopping between genera for years. So I don't know where he's at right now, but I think it's SoCal Foliage. Anyways, he was very into hoys at this time, and I was just on the purges. I was a purge addict, and my life revolved around the purge.
Oh, so that's like, that was the excitement for you, was that like,
oh
that,
my
that
god, yes, it was amazing. I never experienced such excitement in my life. So they would post the purge.
Rush was real. The rush was real.
So they would post the purge thing. We're having a purge. It was the Botanical Boys. I remember it was four of them. Tony was part of this. They were doing a mix of Hoyas and Aeroids and whatever. So they would schedule it and I would set my alarm and, oh my God. And I would have, I'd try on my laptop. I'd try on my phone to see which one had faster Wi-Fi. I like made, those, like, what do you call it? When you type something on your phone and it's like a shortcut. So I think it's still in my phone now. If I hit P, it would auto shortcut to sold. So I hit
this
brings back memories. This, because literally sometimes the purges, like someone had to go on a computer to check down to the second when the timestamp was and who actually got it first because they were like so crazy.
You would. Now if you're on a purge, maybe you're fighting one or two people. Maybe. You know, there's a lot of unschooled stuff. But back in the 5 years ago, you're fighting sometimes, depending on what it was, 40 or 50 people, at least on the SoCal. And it's like, it's insane. So of course I have my shortcut.
Of course you're just shortcut. Actually, no, I would have never even thought about that. And I really love that. Like, I love that that exists.
This is how important it was to me to get that
the days.
I was crazy for them. And I don't remember exactly at what point I fully devolved into only Hoyas. 2021, maybe early 21.
Okay. Yeah.
But you hit that point. I feel like I feel like us like rural Hoya heads, there is that point where we were like, okay, it's Hoya or nothing. Like it, like there's like something that happens and all of a sudden it's like, this is all I'm going to collect and do and have.
Yeah. You just kind of had to pick a lane and like the Anthurium lane was not for me. I can't water that shit. So I chose the Hoya lane. Now listen, now it's funny because I have an irrigation system, so I never have to worry about the watering. But back in Los Angeles,
jealous.
You should be. It's the reason my plants grow well. I was perhaps the worst waterer of plants of all time. Over, under, not at all. Who knows? I just was constantly having to restart stuff. I got wet rot, dry rot, whatever. Just panicked all the time. And I was because
I feel so seen right now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm feeling really seen here.
So I know, between you and Jesse.
I identify with the graveyard for sure. Because of course I like overdid it. Like I still can't say no. You know, I just get more and that one's declining. Well, whatever. I just got this new one I'm going to focus on. Like that's the vibe. Is it healthy? No, but that's what I do.
That is very Jessie, though. She's like, oh, but there's another Obovada. I'm going to buy that
whatever.
One.
Whatever. It's not like I can't go and get another Obovada from anybody else. So, you know, I don't get too attached to anything. I do better now. But that was me. So, you know, I was growing. We started on some little shelves. I went and got some IKEA shelves and then started filling up the apartment with that. And I remember very early on, before I really knew the full capability of a Hoya to overtake a space or its neighbor or itself, because you start off, you know, back in these days you start off with the tiny cup and your tiny
one little leaf or two leaves and a nose. Like
okay, oh my God. So I always would say I've got my little cups of my jungle vines, and I went and got the Mills bow and I had four shelves and I had them packed egg carton, and that was fine in the beginning. I was like, oh yes, this shelf can fit very comfortably, you know, 48 shot glass size Hoyas until it can't. And then it just was getting really crazy. So you know, I get the grow tents. I think we ended up having four grow tents and just stuff all over the house. In the middle of everything, we had to move from a one bedroom apartment into a two bedroom apartment in the same building to make that a plant room. Like, that's the vibe. And then now I have a nursery.
Priorities.
The shot glass to nursery pipeline. It takes about 3 years of, you know, hoarding and unchecked purchasing, and then you have a nursery. So
boom.
And then you're paying for your hobby.
I'm definitely, yes, paying for the hobby.
Okay, so I gotta hear about this. I remember, you know, when you were first starting to move, you're like, I'm moving to Hawaii. And I was like, what? You're moving to Hawaii? So you gotta, you know, tell us the story. What is the inspiration behind moving from SoCal to going to Hawaii?
I know. I was that insufferable person telling everybody that I'm moving to Hawaii.
I'm going to the island.
You know, I never... So I had... Again, I'm from Pennsylvania, snooze, and my family and I came here, I think, 20 years ago when I graduated from high school, aging myself, and came on a vacation, family vacation, and it was nice and I liked it, but I never thought I must live there. Mm-hmm. I never thought about going back again. And randomly, and not related, my best friend from high school happened to have moved here. Maybe almost 10 years ago. So that was going on. So I had come back a couple times to visit. Oh no, the rain.
Oh, that's can you hear the rain? It sounds so nice.
It's fine. Lovely.
Really nice. For us desert dwellers who never get tropical any rain. Tropical storm it's like, outside. Oh my God.
It's like, wow, it's like really a little bit down. Of a, it's like a 4D recording for our listeners.
Okay. Well, maybe it's a nice intermission. Okay? Yeah.
Well, explain. Like, can you kind of tell us like what are you where are you at right now? Are you like in the nursery? Like, what's the building?
Yes, I am very at the nursery right now. So, like I said, it's very Timu. Everything is like homemade and not like up to industry standards by any means. Okay. So right now I'm underneath a park, well, it's repurposed parking structure with like a tarp as the roof out in the middle of a jungle field where I have my, I'm in my mother plant tent and it's just I really love coming it. Down.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Are like, you whatever, okay? What am I going to do? Complain about this? So as long as you can still hear me, we're good. But yeah, I'm back here. Wow, it's really raining. So I was back here. I have all my mother plants in the back. And I was just, you know, trellising, re-trellising, untangling, etc. while I chatted on the phone. But I have this area and then a different area in the front of the farm where, like, the for sale stuff is.
So was the plan always to move to Hawaii?
Okay, no, it never was. Sorry, I got derailed by the way. Okay, so.
Oh, you're okay. Friend,
so no, I'm so glad someone remembered because I was sitting here like, there was a question that we know we needed to be talking about.
But no, I know. I also was panicking. I thought, okay, I know we were talking about something. What was
so, like I said, I got you.
Yes, we're in good company.
Was the plan always to move here? No, the plan was never to move here. So, you know, my friend had moved here. I'd come out once or twice to visit just on vacation while I was in Los Angeles, whatever, fine. But unconnected to any of this, I ended up meeting my partner who in Los Angeles, who is from here. So after 5 years, we had to move home for the family. Mm. So we're here. So I was kind of an import.
You're an import.
I never would have come here on my own. Alone.
Yeah.
So I've been very fortunate. Like, the family here is enormous. It's like a family of several hundred.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah, it's like very different from from my upbringing. It's like a very small immediate family and like whatever, a couple cousins. But no, the cousins situation here is It's legit. There are so many cousins, and the cousins' kids.
Many cousins.
So many cousins. But it's great. So I basically, like, I haven't really had to meet anybody here besides that. Now, I've made some plant friends, but, like, I have an entire, you know, prefab social network when I got here. So it was pretty easy.
Wow. Like,
it could have been much worse. And I don't understand how anybody would come here alone. That's intimidating. And I've done, you know, yeah. I've been many places before without knowing anybody, but anyways, I was lucky this time. So no, I never would have planned that. I've been here for about 2 years now, and I had no intention of, like, starting a nursery. I just thought, oh, I'm going to have outdoor space to grow these plants. But the family has a sod farm, so growing grass, which is not glamorous, but pays the bills. And, you know, I don't know the exact square footage of the property, but many acres. So I think we have probably about half an acre of space to use, which we have not, like, come anywhere near using that. Like, it's just two or three of us working. We can't do any more than we're doing. But
yeah,
for my intents and purposes, I have unlimited space, which is fun, but also insane, because I just never say no to anything. So if I see it, I grab it. I take it. I get started on a lot of projects. I have so many unfinished projects here, and I really am trying to tell myself to pick a lane. And right now I'm in, like, three lanes. So that's fine.
Yeah. I guess. All things considering, that's pretty good. Pretty impressive. Three lanes, you know?
I could be in more. I was in more lanes. I was in many more lanes. But my lanes, I'm currently, you know, very into Hoyas, obviously. I don't think I'll ever stop. I, as a side lane, maybe the shoulder of the lane, I'm into Rhypsalis and epiphytic cacti, which, like, whatever. They're set it and forget it. Nothing to really focus on with them. I like them, but they're easy. And then very deep into the orchids, which is fun and crazy.
Like, what kind of, like, so what, help me picture the orchids. Are you into, like, the rare miniature orchids? Are you into, yes, like, the big flowering ones? Or, like, which ones got?
Or all of the above.
All of the above with some exceptions. So, like, I feel like a little bit of a snob because the orchid situation, I mean, I don't know what everybody knows about orchids because it's not an orchid-themed podcast. So, you know, reel me back in if I'm too far off topic. But it's, like, the biggest plant family in the world. I can't remember how many species there are, but I think we're talking about, like, you know, 25,000 species with, like, hundreds of genera. And then they're very easy to hybridize. Now, the germination process and whatever is complicated, but in terms of, like, doing a pollination, very straightforward, not like a Hoya. So I think the number of, like, registered hybrids is in the six figures. So it's just, there's, like, so many, you could never.
I see it now. I see because orchid collecting, very, very popular in, like, you know, the plant world. And I feel like you get to a point in collecting where you want to try to hybridize something or you want to try pollinating something. And Hoya, not it, so hard. But if you find one,
not
where it's
it.
Like, no, it ain't. It is not it.
It's not. I'll tell you, I've tried. So I went and I bought, once I moved here, I started, like, getting a lot of blooms because I never had very many blooms in Los Angeles. So, and I was in contact with April from Unsolicited Plant Talk, said, what do you know about hand pollination? So, you know, she shared some tips that she's heard, whatever. And I went and bought my little microscope and I thought, okay, this is blooming. I'm going to go and try. So I tried it. My back it hurt so bad. Killed my back for nothing, obviously. 0% success at all. So I thought, nah, bag it. And I know people are doing it, you know, Rick and there's other people doing hand pollination, but I don't care.
It's a small population of people, you know, like it's so hard.
So related, and this is off topic, well, I guess on topic, but it's just, you know, just me rambling. I had posted, this is maybe a year into my nursery, so I had, you know, pre-established business and plants for sale. So I was posting I was going to have a Hoya sale on Facebook Marketplace. And then I just get a random message from this person named Michael Miyashiro. And I am reading, and he's kind of talking to me about Hoyas and whatever. And he told me that he was one of the, well, he didn't use this language, but he said he was one of the premier hand pollinator hybridizers back in the 90s. I was like, what? And he told me that he, at some point, had sold his entire collection to somebody from Florida. I didn't ask who, but I want to know. And he doesn't even, like, know what turned out. So, like, he is, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one who hybridized, like, Sunrise, Joy, Kaimuki, like, a lot of them that are still in circulation.
Oh, wild.
Yeah. So I said, sir, why don't you come on by my little Hoya nursery? And he kind of ghosted me, but not before he, like, gave me all this very interesting information about, like, pollination, but, like, very, like, botanical. And I'm not at that level. So he's, you know, he's trying to tell me
about the, like, guide rails. And
he's telling me that. He's like, and then you need this. And then he's telling me that, like, coconut husk is the worst thing ever to grow Hoyas in. I was like, that's what I use. So I just.
Have you heard of, like, April?
Yeah, I know. He's like, that's the worst. He's telling me that the substrate breaks down and it becomes acidic and they need to be in bark and have, like, coral chips and all this and that. So I was like, of course, I've got, like, all these screenshots in my phone. And I'm, like, frantically, like, trying to, like, think of what I can do. So, I don't know. I'm not motivated enough to do anything with that information, but it was very interesting. You know, he was telling me, we all know, like, he's saying, like, you need to research, like, their, you know, in situ natural conditions. Find out, you know, where they grow. Are they on a rock next to a river? Is it dry? Is it wet? Blah, blah. Like, and then, I don't know. It was too much information. I thought, I don't have time for this, so I have just led the
sir, thank you, but no thank you.
No thank you. Unless you really want to, like, give me a in-person tutorial. But he told me that the ants are the best pollinators, and it took about a year of me having my mother plant area established until I started getting seed pods. I have so many seed pods, but primarily on Lacunosa and Lacunosa relatives. So, like, they're just open pollinated. I mean, I've probably had, I don't know, 50 to 60 pods. And this just happened earlier this year. So maybe over the past, like, 6 months, just been getting all these pods. And now I'm over it. Like, I remember the first one, I was like, oh my God, a pod. I was, like, fascinated. So I went and got an organza bag, and I, you know, like, bagged it up and whatever, and exploded. And then I just saw, like, 75 of them. And I, my unpopular Hoya opinion is I just don't care about seeds. It's too much work. It's like, I don't care. And some of the people are seed crazy, and that's fine. Like, that's great. If that's, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum. But I just, for a Lacunosa, and I'm not a Lacunosa hater, but am I going to start thousands of Lacunosa seeds? No. I don't have the room or the time. The slugs are just going to dine on those. So anyways, I've been selling the seeds off. But I'm waiting for something at a slightly more interesting level than a Lacunosa, I think. But no hand pollinating for me. No thanks.
Like, when you find the seed pod, do you know, like, who, what it is?
I assume
obviously it's the one.
Probably another Lacunosa, mainly because the flowers are so small. So
okay.
What else?
Yeah.
I've seen, like, pollinia on larger blooming species that are probably larger than the flower of the Lacunosa. You know what I mean? I don't know. They could be selfings. They could be.
Okay. Where there's a will, there is a way.
So I have a wall of Lacunosa of, like, hanging pots. I don't know how many there are. Probably, like, 40 or 50 different Lacunosa pots that are all, you know, in bloom constantly. So I'm sure it's just something. And I've sold lots of seeds, and I've told anybody if they get anything interesting, they're required to send it back to me, and I haven't heard it. So I'm assuming it's probably just more Lacunosa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to see the life cycle of the pod, like, because I can tell now, I can see, oh, that's a pollinated peduncle, and you see it start to grow, and, like, the Lacunosas ripen very quickly. But, like, I had a Sunrise which is at least half Lacanosa, as far as I know, Obscura. And that thing took almost 3 months to...
Wow.
So, and it was just like, it was almost triple the size of the Lacanosa pod. So, I don't know, they're all different. But interesting stuff to see. Obviously, can't complain. Like, oh, I have too many seed pods.
I have too many flowers blooming. Oh, I have too many pollinated. Okay, Jonathan, but I got, you know, going from, you know, 45 shot glasses of Hoya and a Mills Bow on each shelf to a whole nursery is definitely the pipeline. I gotta know, so your nursery is Mauna Understory.
Yes.
And I want to know the story. I mean, I know, you know, your fam has the land and things like that, but it's one thing to have the place to do it and then to actually do it. So what's the story? Tell me the story.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't really know how it happened. I didn't choose this. It just chose me. Like I said, I moved here with the space. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to, like, make a little plot. You know, I'm going to get, like, a little baby greenhouse. I didn't know what size. And I was just going to grow my plants here, but then it kind of exploded into, we have so many, this sounds very snobby, but like we have so many desirable plants that people would want to buy. We should, you know, start propagating them at scale and selling them because interestingly enough, you would think, I would have thought before I came here that this would be like a plant shopping paradise, and you would think that there are tons of places to go with the craziest things you've ever seen, and really it's not. So, you know, there's a few places, and I think it depends on which island you're on. Like Big Island, for example, is very well known for having like huge commercial nursery, huge growers of orchids out there, but the land is way cheaper. So I think like on Oahu, it's the most populated island. Land is at a premium. Everything's super expensive. I don't think anybody is really, you know, there are growers here, but not as many as I would have thought. Because with like perfect weather, there's no complaints about the weather. The worst thing that could happen is like a windstorm, hurricane. But like it's, you know, humidity's always on point. My max temp is like 86, low temp. Wow. And the winter, don't get me started with you Arizona people. I don't know how you live where you live.
I was about to say, that's a flex right there. It
is a flex. Oh, my God.
Because we don't have 700 cousins living in Hawaii. That's why we have to live where we live.
No. Yeah, so anyways, we just started clearing land. So the land, I mean, the land was healing. You know what I mean? Like, it was really taken over. It really... stuff grows fast here. Like the weeds are supercharged. Everything is huge. It grows fast. Like it's you can't really conceive of it. So, you know, we had basically like bulldozed a space and we're like, okay, let's propagate some of these. And then it just kept turning into let's propagate more of this. And now we have, it's a small operation. It's just three people running everything, but it's turned into like a very mini, very boutique, I guess, nursery. Because you cannot come here and get, you know, pothos. I don't sell that. We have very, like, niche stuff, I guess. But that's what happened. So I didn't choose this. I had no intention of coming here and starting a nursery. I just thought, oh, okay, now I'm, like, girl bossing and a business owner, and I had to create an LLC and do all these business taxes.
Oh my God, tax shit. Oh no,
like, it's the worst. Yeah, I'm also the office manager, which is terrible.
Customer service.
Listen, I'm not the one. I'm
that is not your ministry.
No, it's not my ministry. So hopefully you don't have a problem, because I'm like, you want to speak to the manager, I'm the manager, and then there's no one above me and you're in trouble. That's not my strong point. Everybody who knows me knows that. But honestly, I haven't had too many problems. My biggest problem is people asking for a discount, which I don't like, because I feel like my prices are very fair, well below national market prices for these plants, and still they want a deal.
Everyone wants a discount.
Everybody wants a deal. I don't know. Culturally here, that's more accepted than where I'm from. I would never ask somebody for a discount, but whatever. We don't have to get deep into the weeds on
that. I would not do it either. I can't even do that when it's like customary when you go to different countries and you're like, oh yeah, like they expect you to like haggle about it. I cannot.
Yeah, no, it's cringe to me. It's like, you have to haggle. They're cheating you. I'm like, yeah, it's the difference of like a quarter. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
But like, you like have to. Like, I remember growing up, like we'd go to Korea over the summer and over everything, like literally you can go get like a $50 little bun and you're like, you take 49 cents for that.
Oh my God.
Or a 50 cent, like a 50 cent bun. It's like, how about 49 cents? And you want to take 49 cents for that? And you're like, what are we doing?
The thing is, for me, I want to get the talking over with immediately. I don't want to talk to you any more than I have to. So I'm very motivated to end the conversation as quickly as I can. So you could tell me that the bun that's 50 cents is now 100. Done if it ends the conversation.
You should have moved to Japan where they have that restaurant where like you don't talk to anyone, you're like in a box and like you never socialize with anyone.
We just went to Japan for the first time like a year ago and it was amazing.
Oh.
And I only want that. But honestly, it's like in Japan, like I'm not gonna take us onto a Japan podcast, but like they're not gonna bother you anyways. They're so respectful, they're leaving you alone. But even if you want to be left more alone, you can go to the solo ramen dining. Please. That's a dream.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a dream because in my life, I don't know what it is about me. I, for some reason, attract, like, foolishness, like, weird, goofy situations. Always getting dragged into some weird conversation, some weird interaction. And I'm always like, I can't wait till it's over. So, yeah. To get back to that, I don't want to haggle.
Right now,
I'm not
going to
haggle
us.
With you. I just want my stupid bun and you to leave me alone.
So right now, you're telling us Lydia came along into your DM and was like, Jonathan, come talk on the podcast. And you're like, you know what? Okay, whatever. What's going to get
finding
you
myself
to stop
in a weird situation.
I texted my little Hoya group chat. I was like, you will never what I have asked to be on a Hoya podcast. They all knew what I was. And I'm trying to like explain to like my family. I texted my sisters about this. I was like, I'm going on a podcast. Like, what are you even freaking talking about? I was like, I'm on a podcast. They're like, a plant podcast. Nobody in my family knows anything about plants. So like a plant podcast, like, what the hell?
You're like, I'm a celebrity today. Now. Use a different door.
Yeah. I told my sister this morning in our group. Like, well, today's a big day. I'm going on my plant podcast. So they asked, is this the plant podcast? Is it the true crime podcast that I'm doing with April? Or is it plants and true crime? I was like, well, they do intersect, so I guess we could talk about them. But she was trying to explain it to my 5-year-old niece and 3-year-old nephew. And they're just like, what is a podcast? What is a podcast?
Oh my gosh, stop.
That's so cute. That's so funny.
Hola Hoya friends! So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there!
Hey there, Let's Talk Hoya listeners. We're so glad that you're here joining us as we chat all about Hoya. And can you believe it? It's already been over a year since we've been doing this podcast, and it's just been filled with so many great memories. And most of those surround you, our listeners, and hearing from you all and getting to engage with you. And if you like what you're hearing, we hope you take a moment to leave us a review. Honestly, it means so much to us. They make us laugh and it brightens our day. And so we hope that you take a moment to do that. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram. You can find us at lets.talkhoya and check out our show notes. They're linked in our bio. We also have a Patreon community called Peduncle Pals, and we hope to see you there.
Okay, so your nursery, is it public? Can come stop by, shop around, walk around?
Yes. Currently, we are by appointment only because I have a terrible day job that I can't wait to get fired from or quit.
I love that.
Awful. Hate
I
it.
Feel the passion. You love it.
Yeah, I really love my job so much. It's a very boring, unfulfilling emails and spreadsheets, clicking and clacking all day. You know, like the AI business speak. Thank you so much for contacting us, et cetera, uh-huh. et cetera. So, yeah, I'm trying to, like, I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, can I do the plants full time? Maybe. But it's not, like, a sure thing. Like, I wouldn't just, like, up and quit today because I'm not at that point. But I'm also thinking, like, man, my day job's really getting in the way of my nursery job. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you only have so much bandwidth to
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I say that you go for it because you're passionate about the plants and I think you'll make it work. But thank also, you know,
much. I am passionate about the plants. The plants is the only thing that I've ever found that I like enough to like turn into like a job. You know what I mean? And they always say like, do something you love and it won't feel like a damn work ever. Yeah, it does. But
there's still a lot of damn chores.
There's still
to do.
A lot of work. Yeah. But I don't have anybody telling me, hey, we need your report. So
yeah
nobody.
We just have people asking for discounts.
Yeah, and I could just say no, bye, like I don't need your so we'll
okay
see.
So the three, not to be nosy, but who are the three people that are involved with this nursery operation?
Me, my partner, and partner's brother, but names okay. not to be disclosed.
No, that's yes. So family,
it's
operation, just
it's
you guys
very family operated.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It could get to a point where I got employees, and like depending on how big I want to scale things up. The Hoya community here.
Then you're
going
to have to start talking to people. So that's the thing.
That is rough. I can kind of take it. I can kind of take
hey,
it.
Hey, you can hire a customer service representative.
No,
you
know? I know my
that
mom
can be number four.
My mom has said when she comes to visit, she goes, I'll come and help you. I can run the cash register. I was like, I need you pulling weeds. I don't need help running the cash. But
no,
yeah.
You can have her pulling weeds and then get her like a Bluetooth headset and she can be like on the phone customer service at the
Jeez,
same time.
Not an exploitation.
I gotta exploit her. I hope I don't ever get to a point where I have people calling me for customer service on my phone. I'm trying to
Yeah, I'm I never want to get like, to call center volume.
Yeah, I am not trying to fly that close to the sun. Like just, you know, I'm just trying to pay my bills. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I used to work for customer service over the phone and I always had top ratings. So I'm going to throw my name in the hat for some remote customer service employee right here.
Okay. I will let you know for now it's an internship only.
Internship?
No.
Unpaid.
No,
thank
no,
you.
No.
So
I'm unionizing.
You need the experience for your resume, let me know. Write a letter of recommendation.
I'm okay.
Okay. I'm sure we're all doing fine.
Okay, so Mauna Understory, you were saying that you use cocoa. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people are always just curious of like, how do people grow? What did they use? Like, what works for them? And I mean, there's no way to replicate, you know, a literal island in a jungle that you're on. But... you know, tell the folks, the listeners, like what's been working for you, what have you been doing, and yeah, you know, tell us about how you're making the Hoya magic happen.
Well, I'll kick it back to, you know, 2020 when I got my first baby food jar of algae covered LECA, and I thought, what is this? So I did some research on that, and I really was convinced. I was like, this is the way. This like self-watering LECA, like this is it. There's no problems with this and everything's going to be amazing. And I was very deluded in that. And I had a lot of, you know, rot situations because I never prepared the LECA correctly. I guess you're supposed to like soak it and like fully saturate it or it robs the roots of them was here in the long term. I don't know, whatever. So like I was going through my Lekka journey for a long time. It was like a year and a half of Lekka. I was like, I can do it. And it was terrible. And I finally was like, okay, I'm going to make the big jump to like chunky mix. So like back when I was in LA in my grow tents, I was making my mix and I had coconut chunks and perlite and charcoal and I don't know, all kinds of crap just to make it fun. And it is fun, you know, mixing your little mix, great, whatever. So that's what I was growing in prior to that. So once I moved here, I just, because there's so much humidity in the air and I had the irrigation, I just didn't need, feel like anything extra. So I was just using coconut. So everything's in coconut and like all my mother plants are in like net pots because I just want all the aeration. But I have neglected. It is a dream because I can go crazy. I can water as much as I want. However, I've neglected a lot of the mother plants right now. They've been in the same medium for like 2 years and I didn't suffer this problem at, you know, home growing, but the media is very much degrading. So it's getting, probably getting sour. And it just kind of always, some of it always looks very wet. And I think it's probably causing the plants to suffer. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, my winter project this year is to like repot all my mother plants. All my
so what I'm hearing is you would like me to come visit you in Hawaii and
yeah.
Help you repot plants, but give me the authentic Hawaii experience.
Sure thing. Anybody who's interested, come on through. But I'm making a change. Yeah, it's all internship for sure. And I have an air mattress that you can sleep on in my very small living room. So all of the plants that I propagate, I'm selling are just in coconut. I just feel like it's the most economical. It keeps everybody's costs down. But I recently, and this is a throwback to my, you know, Facebook Messenger conversation with Michael Miyashiro, the ghostly Koya hybridizer. He was telling me that, you know, coconut's so bad and you need to be growing them in bark and rocks and all this stuff. So recently I was in Los Angeles, maybe a month ago, and I came back with a lot of cuttings, as I am prone to do. And I made a new mix with just, I don't know what the grade is, but probably like it's a very small, maybe like a seedling grade of Sequoia bark mix.
Sequoia bark.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it is actually sequoia trees or if that's the brand. Sorry, like I'm not, am I ethically sourcing my bark? No, sorry, I'm not that person. But I just bought what I could get. So I got this bag of sequoia.
You buy what you can get. I love
it. It is real. Yeah, it is real.
I
here.
Love the
I don't know or care. If anybody wants to cancel me over it, like send them to my customer service line, I literally don't care. So I got my bag of bark.
Our intern Jessie's got you.
I know. She's clocking my tea for sure. So I've got this sequoia brand or sequoia tree, not sure, bark. And they're little pieces. And I would say they're probably similar to like the size of a like coconut bark chip. And then I mix them in with cinders. And I also don't know what that is. I mean, it's just like burnt down something, but it's basically like rocks. So it's like a perlite. Cinders. Maybe they're volcanic cinders. Again, I don't know. I'm just buying what I can get. I bought it by a truckload and I just dumped it. Because,
okay.
Man, perlite here, expensive. And you would think it would be cheap. Volcanoes, but it's not. Nothing here is cheap. But these cinders were, relatively, I guess. So I just got like a big truckload of cinders. And they're like kind of similar to perlite, black, but they don't stain and they don't float, but they serve the same.
So like perfect.
See, so yeah, perfect. So they don't really stick out. Like if you're looking at the mix, it's just like, you know, black and brown. Nice mix. Anyways, so I rooted just to see. I was like, I rooted my cuttings in that. And I don't know if it was like, if it's the new media or the source of the cuttings, which is, I'll just say, is April. So, of course, they're going to be very healthy off the bat. Like, that's setting them up for success. But, like, they rooted so fast and are growing so well in this new mix. And I'm just curious to see how it goes. Like, I'm watching, like, everything's doing good. It doesn't stay wet for very long. So I water it pretty frequently, but, like, the roots look good. So, you know, verdict is out. Oh, God, a slug. But I'm happy with how things are going. So my plan is, in my repotting journey that you're going to join me for our internship, is to make a big batch of this bark mix for the mother plants and see how that goes. Because I think it will degrade much more slowly than coconut.
Cocoa house.
Yes. But that's, I'm going to still use the coconut. Yeah, I'll see. I'm excited to see. I'm not excited about the project. Like, oh my God, I have so much work ahead of me. But like, it's no longer cute anymore. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh yeah, like, oh, cute, fun plant tours. Buy the not cute plant tours anymore. It's always like, buy the thousands.
Yeah, so it's also trying new things is never fun anymore. You're like, no, this isn't fun anymore to just try something new. I just want to do what works. Like
I need this to work because I'm not. Yeah. That's exactly it. So, you know, not complaining, but it's just like, it's the reality of things. It's not like a quick, like, I don't have a prop box that I'm going to do like, ooh, a quick little tester of six things. No, I have like 1,000 Hoyas that I have to make sure are okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I'm happy with that and how that's going, and I'll just keep tweaking that mix, but I think I like it so far. Everything that I have in that bark, I'm looking at it now. It looks good.
Wow. What a journey, though, to go from baby food jar Lekka algae.
Look at me now, Mom and Dad.
From Amish country to...
From Amish country. Oh my God. They're at least 45 minutes away from where I grew up.
You saw the horses going to school. We know you did.
I sure did have to, you know, pass a horse and buggy on a rural highway. Of course I did.
Oh, I love it though. What a journey. And it's like so fun because like there's like so many people that we've talked to and all of our journeys are like, yeah, there was the one plant and then COVID happened and then the Facebook purges. And then like everyone's journeys are now like so vast and like everyone's doing something different that they're passionate about and they love and they all relate to plants in some way. And it's just really cool, you know, except you started nursery and you're like, you know, growing thousands of plants, which is amazing. But we always ask what it is that you hope and dream for the future. If you're dreaming big, Jonathan, okay, don't go small on me.
Dream I'm not going to go small. I'm going to go medium.
Okay. Not to go crazy.
But like my medium dream is to do well enough to quit my stupid day job and just do this. Like, that's all I really want to do.
Mm.
You know, and of course, there's people who are like, you know, I got haters who are like, you can't just do plants. But like, boring, maybe I can. I know people just do that. And like, I'm not trying to be like, you know, a giant commercial nursery magnet. I'm just trying to like grow some stupid little tropical vines and cups and some orchids. Like, that's it. So that's
just
my
trying to
dream.
Live your best life.
I am
just
trying my best,
your best life.
I do. It's so healthy. I spend, you know, all this time outside because I'm more of an inside person, like by default. If you know me and look at me, I go home and it's very much I'm living in the internet. But during the day, outside, breathing good air, nice and breezy, bring my little dog to the farm and we just do fun stuff.
Wait, tell us about your dog.
Oh my God, my little dog, Gladys. She's here with me right now.
Gladys.
She's like a little old lady dog. She, what I rest. Dog? So I've never had a dog before. because I grew up with allergies. So I have dog many allergies. But I got my allergy shots for like 15 years when I was a kid. And I always thought, oh, I would like to have a dog someday. And then I kind of like phased out of that. And I thought, no, I'm like not really a dog person. I'm still not a dog person, unfortunately. But I went to a friend's house in February of this year. And they had a rescue pup. And I was like, oh, that's a very cute dog. I should just, you know, maybe log in to the Humane Society website.
Just
2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. on a Wednesday. I'm just going to see who's at the pound. Just for fun. And I saw this little pup. And her pound name was Posey. I was like, that's not Posey.
I have a Posey.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sure she's lovely. But this Gladys is not a Posey. I was like, no, there's no way. That's just a made up name. Somebody just made that name up. So I don't think she had any, attachment to that. So I was between her and this other dog. She was a year old. And then there was a puppy who I was like, oh, that would be cute to have a puppy. And I'm really glad I didn't end up going with this puppy. So I go to the Humane Society the next day. I'm like, hey, I'm here to see the puppy. And they're like, bad news. The puppy has been exposed to parvo. You cannot see. Now the puppy, he's alive, or he was at that point. Oh. Like he made it. I assume he's still living his best life. But anyway, I was like, yes, he's fine. So, because yes. I did find out after, because I went back for like a checkup for the dog and I asked, and they're like, oh yeah, he's fine. So anyways, he's, I'm sure, been adopted out, but I took Gladys for a little spin and she was not into it, like kind of very shy and like scared of people. But I thought, okay, they had a little, what do they call it? I think the couch crasher program. So like you can foster these dogs for like 2 weeks. I think as like a good Samaritan to like give them a break. It's a no kill shelter. So there's some dogs who are there probably a long time. So they'll like give them a little break from the Humane Society. But I was like, okay, I'm going to take this dog on a 2 week free trial and just make sure that I can handle her. We have another dog at our house. It's not my dog, but we have a Frenchie who's like a crackhead, insane dog. And I was like, is Gladys going to be fine with this dog? Is this dog going to be fine with Gladys? Can I handle being a dog owner? And so whatever. So I signed up, took her out for the 2 week, free trial, went to PetSmart. I spent, a ton of money on all this bullshit for her. And I thought, well, I guess you're staying because I spent so much money. I can't return this. I guess you're staying. And no. I called Vincent, and she's just the best little dog of all time.
Oh, I love that.
Gladys. Okay, so
we need a picture of Gladys.
We always ask a picture of that you want us to share when your episode goes out, but I think Gladys has to be like the cover photo or something.
Oh my god, yeah. She's on my Instagram. I call her the manager. She's the farm manager. She's the best. She is like who rescued who, am I right?
You're a changed person because of Gladys.
I am, and everybody's making fun of me because they always like, you're dog haters. Like, I didn't hate dogs. I'm just like, I'm not a dog person. Like, yeah. I take Gladys, I feel bad, but I can't change this about myself. I take Gladys to the dog park every day. This dog is fast, okay? And I am not. Like, there's no way I'm running after this dog. So I take her to the dog park. I let her run around. And there's so many people. She's very cute. Everybody loves her. And so many people come to me like, oh, what's her name? Gladys. How old? 1.5. And then I never have a natural inclination to respond with, what's your dog's name? I never ask because I don't care. I feel like a bad person, but I'm not a dog person. I literally don't care. I only care about my dog.
Yeah. Oh my god. Dog parks are like the best people watching.
I saw a picture. Gladys, look at her. She's so cute.
She is very cute. I love this.
She is the best. She's like 25 pounds. She's so small. She's so like nice and cuddly, very clingy. We go everywhere. Love it.
She looks like a Rottweiler mix. Did they tell you anything?
I think nobody knows. She looks like a mini. I call her a teacup Doberman, but I don't know what she is. And I do not plan on getting a dog DNA test. I don't care.
No. She's yours, and that's all she is.
It's Exactly.
Gladys.
But man, okay, I found out some... Oh, go ahead.
No. Finish.
I was going to say, I've gone down some dark paths already. She's 1.5, but I'm already thinking about her mortality. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do when Gladys dies 10 years from now? What am I going to do?
We can't. Okay, I regret saying the... I regret...
Did you hear about there's like that medication that's coming out that's supposed to prolong their life, but it's only by like a year, and it's gonna be like $1,000 or something. And tell me why. I'm like, should I drop $7,000 for my dogs to live an extra year?
No, we should not.
Is it a one time med?
That's the qualification.
Is not it, you is, hacking
this is just a one dose.
Yeah, I need to know.
I think if I read it correctly, I think it's like a one-time vaccination situation.
Then that's
why can't we do it twice? Mean, yeah.
How many cuttings is that gonna cost me?
Okay, but why? One thing I did want to say is, did you ever picture your life ending up? I know you didn't picture ending up in Hawaii, but like you've said to yourself that you're just like an inside type of person, and now you are on a farm doing shit because of these plants. You're taking your dog that you never thought you would own to a dog park in Hawaii too. Like, I kind of, and then also you have, from what I'm guessing, made a community of people that I don't know you would have ever come into contact with if you hadn't gotten into plants. Is that correct?
No, nothing makes any sense. Like in no timeline or iteration of a timeline did I end up farming in the mid, like I hate being hot. I hate feeling the sun on me, and I'm out here with the sun on me. Like, you should see, we should also include like a picture of my tan lot, my farmer tan, for the show.
We absolutely should.
It is absurd. My base coat.
You better be wearing SPF, though. You better be wearing SPF daily.
I am not so good at that, and I've been getting yelled at, so I'm going to try my hardest.
Okay. You want to stick with the 50++++?
Yeah. I know. The Koreans really know their skin.
Okay, but you're not melanated like I am, so I'm going to insert myself here and really stress the SPF.
No, I know. The thing is, my forearms are melanated like you right now, and the rest of me looks like a Korean skincare ad. It's really a start.
Baby, that's not healthy.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look.
Oh, see, I love a sexy tan line, but it's not mid-arm. That's not sexy.
No, it's not cute. It's not cute at all. I had no idea. Like, nothing about my life makes sense. Like, even like 2 years ago, I was doing plants, but like, you know, cut to me before the pandemic. What am I doing? I'm watching Housewives, baby. Every single one of them. That's my life. I'm watching middle-aged women scream at themselves. And now I'm in the middle of a field in the jungle island, growing thousands of plants with my dog and my not SPF. And it's hot. It's just like, it's crazy. No, I never would have expected this.
And you have a community.
And I do have a community. You think I think it's weird? My friends and family think it's insane.
Yeah, well. But I think that, you know, but like thinking about it like that, I think it's such a beautiful thing. I don't know. Like to see, and also maybe this serves as like a little reminder that maybe that job that you want to get rid of is your last tether to like that old self that you were, and it's not letting you become this new version.
Exactly. Let's put that bitch in the ground and bury it. I don't need it. Yeah. Like, I don't need this job. Oh man, like, give me one reason and I'm done.
Okay, Jonathan, we gotta make this happen for you. So that means,
listen, I'm trying hard. I'm trying so hard. Listen, here's how you know I'm trying so hard, because is this a good time to bring up Overgrown Oasis?
Yes, bring it, okay, bring it all in. So what are you doing? Where do people find you?
Okay, so Overgrown Oasis, my good friend April Ma of Unsolicited Plant Talks of Yucaipa, California. great person. I know she's been on the pod several times. Love her the best. Started this online community / platform in January of this year, if I am not mistaken. And it's up to several thousand members. I don't know what the count is right now, but we just celebrated, I think, 2,000 members, and it's constantly growing. So there's a community of sellers on there doing live sales primarily, and also education, a lot of lives, people just hanging out, making good friends, which is not by default what I want or like want to be doing. You know, like, it's not like
shocking.
Shocker. But I'm like on there and I'm like I'm meeting people and I'm like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going and like trying to make new friends. I'm just like, you know, running my mouth like I always am. And met tons of great funny people on there and different stuff. You know, just, thank you. Just doing my best. So we're on there and yeah, the reason that you know that I like this is because I am on there doing live sales, which I never would have thought. And like, everybody who knows me can't believe that I'm on there doing live sales. Like, April had to very much peer pressure me into going live one day. And I was like, ugh. Like, it was worse than I felt about, you know, doing this. Just kidding. I'm not.
No, but it's, you know, it's very real. Like,
I was very apprehensive about it. I was like, oh God, like my voice. Gross. Like, that's going to be broadcast.
God, I was like, what would I even talk about?
Exactly.
I really enjoyed it.
Come on.
Literally, not to just like stir up your ego, but I do enjoy your voice.
Thank you so much. Literally exactly what I was saying. I was like, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to show? And they're just like, well, why don't you just take us on a farm tour? So here I am. I'm like driving around in my dirty red red dirt covered Toyota Camry, driving through the farm. I was like, here's the like mother planet. So I'm like taking them on a farm tour. I'm like showing the thing and people are all very interested. And I thought, okay, like if you like it, I love it. So I'm doing that. And I've been doing some sales and I don't know how good at it I am, but I don't know how many lives I've done, a handful, maybe 10. And been selling some stuff that way. So yeah, trying to girl boss my way to quitting my first job.
That's so wonderful. And also, I'm proud of you because you're going to be like, whatever. I just hate doing live streams, but that is a huge barrier, I think, to overcome.
And so it's not something you should take
lightly. Yeah. It sucks to like put yourself in such a vulnerable position like that, you know?
Yeah. I really don't know how I did it, but I don't know. I just did it. It's very weird. I mean, I'm more used to it now. Well, first of all, I always have to have a co-host on with me. There has to be somebody speaking to me live. Otherwise, I am totally
security blanket.
I have no idea what's going on. Because I'm like, what am I going to do? There's a delay. So I'm going to talk to the screen and then maybe in 10 seconds get a response. That 10 seconds that I'm waiting, I feel like I'm dying for millennia of years. Like, my God. So I'm like panicking. I was like, somebody get on here right now and co-host with me just so I can have somebody to talk to. And then I just kind of ignore it because I'm not good at like monitoring the chat, but people are, you know, conversing. It's fine. But oh my God, the 10 seconds of me waiting for somebody, very awkward. I'm like, God, I've got okay. So I'm less apprehensive about it now, but it's still not my preferred activity. But I do it. It's okay. I mean, I've met people on there, and so I guess I've met them, but I still we've only ever like communicated via text. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what a lot of them look like, but a lot of good people on there.
Yeah. What's the username?
My username.
Mm-hmm.
Mauna _. It's my business. Okay. I don't use my personal for the business. My personal username, that's my chaotic account, you know, which I'll share with you here. But like, I keep it kind of buttoned up because like we have not only am I doing the online stuff, but I'm selling to like, you know, regular people here. So like, I don't need 70-year-old aunties who want to buy like a nice orchid seeing like my They don't need to know my true self. They can see my business self. You
know what I mean? Yeah, I love.
Oh yes, Auntie, come on, you want a discount?
Yeah, Auntie does want a discount.
Oh yeah, Auntie does want a discount.
Yeah, always wants a discount. So I just, you know, I got my two. It's more work, and I'm not a good social media person. Like, I'm on it, but I don't post very much. I go in spurts. Then I think, okay, I haven't posted stories in a while. I'm going to post 40 freaking flower pics. And then it's, you know, crickets for 2 months. So I'm not consistent, but whatever. I'm taking care of these plants. What do you want from me?
Yeah, you're showing up. That's all that matters. And I can't wait for the next, you're going to be doing like get ready with me videos for your live stream. You're like, get ready with me to go live.
I don't know about all that.
Look at me putting on the SPF. This is 50++++. My skin's glowing.
That's pretty much. I mean, Adam's got much more interesting get ready with me's. My get ready with me is the same shitty t-shirt and the same shitty shorts day in, day out. Is it stained? Yes. Is it cleaned? Probably. Like, I put on sweat.
Sniff test.
Yeah, like, it's not cute, but it's what I'm doing.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Look at you doing the thing, being out here. But, you know, gotta keep the people coming to you. Gotta get you quitting this job here, Jonathan. So
we got to get me to quit this job.
Okay, Overgrown Oasis. Where else, though? How else are you selling? What else are you doing? Where else can people find you?
Okay, you can find me on overgrownoasis.com, number one. I'm selling on there. You can find me on my business Instagram, Mauna_, MAUNA_, no spaces or characters. And that's where you can find me. And then you can occasionally, you know, I haven't been very active on Facebook lately, but occasionally I'll be lurking around in some of the national Facebook groups, but I don't really have time for that because the traction isn't there for me.
And they should come to you. They should buy plants, but not ask for a discount.
No, don't ask for a discount. Listen, if you come and buy plants from me, listen, I'm selling nice big stuff for way under market value. It's so good. So
nice,
I don't
big
feel
stuff.
Like, I'm selling mother sized plants for, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 bucks, depending on what it is. I'm not just selling little nodes. They got roots. They got leaves.
They got.
They're growing, they're doing the thing. So yeah. And support,
I, you know,
Jonathan.
I don't have, like,
so,
you know, my plants aren't the best. They're not amazing. They are, and I always preface everything. I'm growing them outside, you know, on a tropical island. So we've got geckos running around, there's bugs, they got scratch and dents, the sun burns some of them. Everything is sun stressed, which I hate. That's an unpopular Hoya opinion. I hate sun stress.
Okay, but same.
Okay, oh good.
Okay, I'm haters. Hater alert.
I hate it. I long for the days when I used to be able to grow my deep green, huge leaf, very glossy, beautiful leaves in a grow tent in Los Angeles. Now, everything is red with purple polka dots all over it, and people love it, and I'm like, oh God. And I just cannot shield the sun enough to get them to
prevent
not.
That. That's wild.
Like, big problems, though. Wow, big problems you got there.
I know, but it's like everybody's like, you want what you don't have, because everybody else is like, I've spent, you know, thousands of dollars on Barina T8 grow lights, and I can't get any color on my things, and meanwhile, I'm trying to, like, strip it away.
Well, I love it. And you know what? We're going to get you off the clickety-clacks.
Get me
quit
off
that
the
job, Jonathan. You know, spend your best life with Gladys and your Hoya.
Yes, that's all I want. I just want to be doing my Hoyas and my orchids, and that's it.
But hey, look at that. You had your chat with us. We had a great time. I hope you had a great time.
I had a great time. did we talk about things that people are interested in? Like, is this interesting content? I hope.
For sure.
Well, you know what? It was very interesting to us. That's all involved in this, and that's the only thing that really matters.
That is the
and
only thing that matters.
What people always say is they love listening to guests because it's something different. You know, they get sick of us. No.
Yeah.
But they just, like, everyone has different experiences, and everyone's, like, doing different things, and people just, like, want to know what people are doing and what's out there, and, you know, and, like, you're doing something different. Your life is different. Everyone's different in this hobby, and so people just love that. Mm-hmm. So we are just super, super grateful that you took the time to share about you and to, you know, allow us to share you with our listeners. So thank you.
God, I hope they like me.
What is not to like about you?
Plenty of things, but I haven't talked about any of it during this chat.
But Jonathan, our listeners will find you on Mauna _ on Instagram, and there will be a show notes with some more information about you and what you do. And so, yeah, we're super excited for our listeners to have gotten to know you a little bit more. And we're excited for your future and everything else that's coming down the pipeline for you and Gladys.
Oh my God, Gladys. She's asleep.
Oh, living her best life. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh my God, of course. Thank you so much for thinking of me as a guest.
It has truly been a joy. And thanks for spending your time with us. Now you can go home. Get off the farm.
No, I still got work to do. You think I could just be done?
We're giving you the rest of the day off.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, free internship from LTH.
Get out of here. I have so much to do still. No, but thank you so much for having me. And if you ever want to do a LTH on location, hit me up. You're welcome anytime.
Oh my God. Dream.
I can't really promise like accommodations, really, but anything else that I can help with. Thanks so much for having me.
Adios.
Annyeong.
Bye.
Picture this. You're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.